that if you have or do suffer from FOMO, anyone suffer from FOMO? Or perhaps I ought to start perhaps a bit further back than that. Anyone know what FOMO means? Okay, fear of missing out, okay? That's right. Somebody reads the same books as I do. Lady Bird Book of Knowledge, isn't it, right there? The fear of missing out. I wonder if you ever suffer from that. Certainly, social media feeds that fear, the need to know what all your friends are doing and what they have, etc., etc. But we do need a fear of missing out what God has for each one of us. He got a special plan and a special purpose for you. And we do need a fear of, actually, I don't want to miss out on God's best for my life. I don't want to miss out on all that he has for me. And sometimes we're too busy nodding off or doing our own thing or pleasing ourselves rather than focusing on what is God's will and design and purpose for me as an individual. I once heard about a man who visited a church one Sunday, and right in the middle of the service, a man had a heart attack and died. And the ushers actually carried out four men before they got the right one. That's not a real story, by the way. But you get the point. Sometimes we're not in tune with what God is saying and what God wants for our lives. But we're going to consider this morning the time that the Lord Jesus had with his disciples during those days just after the resurrection, those days, 40 days between his resurrection and his ascension. If you look at Matthew 28 and verse 9, it says, Jesus met them. And if we forget everything else that's gone on this morning, remember that during the resurrection and the ascension, Jesus met with them. And the good news is that Jesus wants to meet with us this morning. It must have been pretty hard for those disciples, the great upheaval that they went through. Maybe the fear of missing out, but they were confused at what was actually going on. They'd for 3 years, they'd left their loved ones. For 3 years, they'd sacrificed so much to follow the Lord. And now their Savior had suffered and died, just like a common criminal. How confused they were. The whole city was talking about it. What a dreadful experience it must have been for them until, that is, Easter Day. And when some of the disciples, they ran to the tomb, they found that it was empty. The angel said, he's not here, he has risen. And they hurried off then to spread the good news. And Jesus met them. There are some very significant words, only three, but full of power and meaning and blessing for each one of us, even today. Jesus met them. Jesus took the initiative. Evidently, he was searching for them. And this is the same attitude that the Lord Jesus has today. He's seeking to save that which is lost. Jesus is seeking you. He wants to help you. He wants to bless you. He wants you to be aware of his presence. And these disciples were never the same again after Easter Day. And we'll never, ever be the same ever again if we've really met the risen Lord Jesus. Jesus met with them. Notice, if you would, please, it was Jesus who met with them. Not the Lord, not Christ. It wasn't Christ met them, the Lord met them, but it was Jesus who met them. Their friend, he met them. He is and was, of course, God, the just and holy one. But he revealed himself to them as Jesus, who'd gone through that suffering, who knew exactly what all the things that they were going through because of his humanity. And Jesus will meet you at your point of need today because he understands what you're going through. He understands the hurt, the pain, and the issues that we experience so often. If you look at Acts chapter 9 and verse 5, you'll see Saul talking. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" And Jesus said these words, "I am Jesus who you are persecuting." So Jesus met them. Jesus will meet us if we turn to him and trust him. He is all that we need. He understands us, and he will bless us. Secondly, it was Jesus who met them. You see, they touched him. They heard him. They saw him. They ate with him. And the same Lord Jesus that they saw and touched and ate with is alive today because he died and rose again and went back into heaven. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just how he blessed his disciples and down through the centuries, he blessed people, he can bless us today because he's still alive. He's alive. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus, the fact that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, and ascended into heaven 40 days later, and there is alive in heaven today, is the best attested fact in history. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is one of the best proven facts. There are more documentary evidence and more practical evidence that he rose from the dead than some of the most important events in history. Jesus met with them, and he is able to meet with you today. Isn't that good news? Whatever we're going through, the issues that we have, if we had time, we could go from each person and you could tell us all your woes and worries and fears, and that would take a long time, wouldn't it? But Jesus knows them. He really does. So it was Jesus who met them. And Jesus met them, really. And Jesus met them. Referring to his disciples, the 11, his mother, and the other women. And then over 500, we can read in 1 Corinthians 15:6. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time. And we're going to look, perhaps having made those comments about Jesus meeting with them, at how life-changing meeting Jesus really is. How life-changing meeting Jesus can really be. Don't miss out. Have a fear of not missing out on what Jesus has for you, because he's got something very significant and special for us. And when people met Jesus, it was life-changing because the situation seemed to change. For example, what I mean by this, it changed from grief to joy. Mary Magdalene was overwhelmed with grief, but it was turned quickly to joy. And if you look at John chapter 20 and the first 16 verses, poor Mary, she owed the Lord so much, and she thought that Jesus had died and that she'd never ever see him again, so her heart was broken. The whole life seemed to be consumed with grief and sorrow. And I wonder if you've ever had maybe a bereavement or a disappointment. If your whole life consumed with grief and sorrow, we can meet with the Lord right here and right now. He wants to be at your side. He is the victorious, living, loving Lord Jesus who rose from the dead. He wants to meet you and change your grief to joy. That's a life-changing promise, isn't it? The consequence of his death is the fact that he dealt with our sin. He conquered death. He's alive. And he came to comfort you in your grief and in your sorrow. And he wants to turn it into joy. And as a Christian, we have a most glorious hope that the death, that Jesus has conquered death and the grave and has overcome all of these things. And heaven is open for those who've trusted him as the Lord and Savior. Look at Revelation 4 and verse 1. After this I looked, and there was before me a door standing open. And then a voice I heard speaking like that a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you the things that must take place after this." Ask the Lord to meet you at your point of sorrow. All of those things that really are going through your mind, causing you sleepless nights or concern. Ask the Lord right now, meet me at my point of sorrow, and he will give you comfort and joy. Not necessarily take them away, but he'll give you the power and the ability to overcome and uphold you in those difficult times. Secondly, there was that changing situation from disappointment to hope. And there were two sad and disappointed disciples. They were changed. And their experience was amazing. Luke chapter 24 says this, "But we had hope." Have you ever felt yourself and heard yourself saying, you know, when something really goes wrong and you've been disappointed and lots of issues going on, and you say, "I'd hoped for something better. I had hoped it wouldn't have been this way." That's what the disciples were saying. All their hopes had been dashed. Maybe that describes you. Your whole situation seems to be hopeless and you feel so desperate. That's exactly how the disciples felt as they were walking along the road to Emmaus. And we see Luke chapter 24 that as they were walking, Jesus met them. And this was a whole game changer for them. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while we were talking with him along the road? And he opened to us the scriptures." Now, they had burning hearts, overflowing with joy and hope. Why? Because they'd met the risen Lord Jesus. Jesus met with them. That can be our experience today, from disappointment to hope. Isn't that good news? And then thirdly, from fear to peace. That's a bit different, isn't it? Where would you rather be? Doesn't take much to work it out, does it? I know where I'd rather be. And the amazing thing is this. The Lord Jesus wants to meet us and deal with that war which seems to be going on in our hearts and give us amazing peace. We see a group of disciples who were very fearful, and they had certainly had no peace or joy. And John 20 says that on the evening when the first day of the weekend, the disciples were together, and they were there behind locked doors because they feared the Jewish leaders. Jesus came and stood among them, and what did he say? "Peace be with you." And after that, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. It's natural for us to be fearful, isn't it? Jesus had been crucified. It was natural for those disciples to be fearful. Jesus had been crucified. So what was going to happen to them now? And they even went to the extreme of hiding behind closed doors. And then suddenly Jesus was there. And sometimes we're in fear of 101 different things. And God wants us to have peace. There is no fear, 1 John 4 says, in love, as we seek to love him and he allow him to love us and penetrate our hearts. There was another changing situation those disciples had just after the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It was a change from doubt to belief. Thomas could hardly believe him, what was going on. He certainly wouldn't believe unless there was some evidence. Until I see Jesus right before me, before I touch him. Thomas was not with the disciples when they told him that Jesus had risen, and he refused to believe. He said, Acts 20 and verse 25, I must have evidence. A week later, Jesus met Thomas. And this is the exciting thing. Jesus met Thomas. He met them. Look at verse 27. And immediately he was convinced. And immediately we meet Jesus, maybe for the second time or the third time. Maybe we've lived our life in independence from him. Maybe we've wandered away. 101 things that have crowded him out. Meet him again and you'll be convinced. There are many people to say today, I won't believe unless I can see. And what I suggest is if you're in that category, here's a challenge. Maybe it's a challenge to us all. Read the account of the crucifixion in the four Gospels and see how the Lord Jesus loved us. He dying there upon the cross for us. And how much more evidence will we need that God loves us? And he desires for our salvation. He desires and longs to meet you at your point of need. How can you stay away from such a wonderful, loving Savior? Fall at his feet and say with Thomas in John 20, verse 28, my Lord and my God. And then there's that change, the whole situation changed because of the death and resurrection and ascension of the Lord Jesus. So it was from failed to restored. Poor, failing, backsliding, discouraged, disappointed Peter. But the loving Lord Jesus forgave him. Maybe you've experienced some failure. Backsliding even. You're not in love with the Lord as much as you used to be. Or maybe you're discouraged or disappointed through 101 different things. The loving Lord Jesus wants to forgive you. He wants to restore you. He wants to bless you in some amazing way. Because what this living, loving Lord Jesus did is, for Peter, he forgave him, he restored him, and he recommissioned him. And then he supported and encouraged him. There's hope for us yet. There really is. He had denied the Lord, and things could never, ever be the same. And he decided that he'd messed up, failed. So I'm going to go back to my old jobs. He went back fishing. He failed at that too. How discouraged and heartbroken he was until the morning by the sea, Jesus met him. Jesus wants to meet you this morning. And Jesus asked Peter those questions repeated three times, John 21. How tender, how loving the Lord Jesus dealt with his servant. How compassionate and understanding Jesus was. And whatever has been going on in your life, you can guarantee this, that Jesus will tenderly and lovingly respond to where you are. It's not a matter of, you know, wagging the finger, why weren't you and how could you? No, he just wants to lovingly restore you and bless you and bring you back to him. If you failed him and you've let him down, he wants you to prove his sufficiency again this morning. Anyone know what that is? Any guesses? Okay. Eddie ought to know. Almost. It's the inside of an iPad, which is pretty much the same as the inside of an iPhone, isn't it? I think, knowing nothing about it. But what I do know is this, that very complex piece of equipment. It was designed, developed, and built by a team of engineers. It didn't just happen. It was designed, developed, and built. And what's inside the human body, you and me? What are we made up with? Because the average human being, or any human being for that matter, you didn't just happen by chance. And it's not by chance that you're here this morning. It's not by chance that we're going through all of these things. Well, we could look at what makes up the individual, and we could understand that we've got enough carbon to fill 9,000 pencils. That's one thing that we're made up of. Enough sodium to fill 43 spoonfuls of sugar. No wonder we're so unhealthy. Or we've got 36 liters of water, the same potassium as 332 bananas, and enough iron to make a 3-inch nail, and phosphorus for 3.9 match heads. But we're more than a fleshy bag of chemicals, aren't we? We're so much more. We've been designed and created by a loving God. That's what makes us up. But we're so much more. We are incredible, extraordinary, a very special creation of Almighty God. Doesn't that thrill you? To realize we're not just a combination of odd things, but we're extraordinary, incredible, a very special creation of Almighty God. The Nicene Creed begins, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. That's us. He created us. He made us. He designed us. We're very, very special to him. Our brains are thousands of times faster than the most powerful and supercomputer. Our eyes, amazing, like a digital camera with 500 megapixels. Each one of us is unique. We have dreams and goals and aspirations. We have emotions, and we all have a sense of purpose and right and wrong. But one thing is for sure, we're all made for the glory of God. Each one of us. We've failed. We've messed up. That's true. But we want a design, not desire, not to miss out. And Jesus said, I'll meet you. I'll meet you. I'll bless you. The Lord Jesus was raised from the dead, never to die again, is distinct from every other person in the history of the world. He's unique. He's alive today, and he's living in our hearts by his Holy Spirit to give us hope, victory, and to help us when we mess up. Meet with Jesus because Jesus wants to meet with you. Let's pray.